Right, okay, thank you. So obviously Mum asked me to do this a while ago now. So I prepped it a couple of weeks ago, and it is amazing that God always gives you the right thing to do at the right time. And he knows what's coming up in your life. He knows what you need to hear. He knows what you need to read. And sometimes you need to remind yourself of that. And I don't know why I'm always surprised that God knows what I want, but he does. So, yeah, so just bear with me as I go through it in case I get emotional. I've had a hard week. Right, so let's just pray. Thank you, Lord, that you do know everything, you know, the beginning from the end. Thank you, Lord, that you are there for us in all our needs at all times. Thank you, Lord, that we have prayer and that we can turn to you whenever we need you. Yes. Thank you, Lord, that you are always before us and you only want good for us. Yes. I pray, Lord, that you help me tonight as I deliver this message, and that you give us all something that we can take away and have a positive and go forward in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So I've titled it The God of Peace, and I just wanted to kind of look into how God gives us a peace of mind and a strength and a confidence that we might not have had without him. And also that kind of led from the need to trust in him and why we should trust in him, and where that kind of comes from. So that was kind of my starting point for why I did this. So I was reading a kind of morning and evening book that I've been given. So I was reading, and my reading was, "Trust in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." And that's from Isaiah 26 and 4. And I just thought, well, not every time that we feel weak or lost or defeated do we actually action that. And I think that's what's really hard in the Christian life. Sometimes we read things and we think, oh yeah, that's good and easy, and it just washes over us. But actually in the real life situation, when you're feeling alone, or if you're feeling restless or just unfulfilled, like there's, you know, something you want to achieve and it's not happening, or just that you're looking for something and you're feeling a bit empty. But you have to remember, as a Christian, that emptiness is that we need to turn and draw near to God, because he fulfills us, he fills us up, and he directs our path. But quite often, if you're just living your life, you can get too busy and forget about that. And we have got a purpose in God. Each and every one of us has got been called for a purpose. And sometimes it's not always clear, or it hasn't been to me, what that purpose always is. And so sometimes I fret about what I should be doing, or what am I meant to be here for. But Jeremiah tells us that God knows the plans he has for us. He declares, the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. And that's one of my favorite verses, because if you believe and you trust, then your worries instantly are lifted by that one verse, isn't it? Because he has got plans not to harm you. He's got plans to prosper you and give you a future and a hope. So what better way to have peace in your life than to think, I've got somebody who's looking out for me, that's in control of this universe, that knows everything, and he's there and he's on my side. Mm-hmm. And when anything happens that's bad or good, he is part of that, and he's there looking out for us. And I think that that really, really gives me a hope and a strength to carry on with whatever's going on in the situation, because God will make it right, even if I can't see it at that moment. And so it's not just enough to know that God has a plan for you, but you have to also call upon him. You have to pray to him, and in turn, he'll then listen to you. And when you seek him with all your heart, he will actually turn to you. And it does say, you draw close to me and I draw close to you, doesn't it? And I think we forget our part sometimes in what God's expectations are of us. And sometimes it might be that we have faith that he's going to work in our life, but we forget to ask him. And I don't know if that's to your credit or not, that you just expect it's going to happen because you trust in God, or whether it's just that you've got a bit lazy and forget to pray about something, or maybe that's just me, but sometimes I don't always bring things to God. I do believe he's going to work in them, but I'm not always dedicated enough to bring it before him. And I think I need to practice better prayer and be more mindful of what I'm praying about. So I started to think about, where have I actually seen God's influence and power and therefore had peace of mind, or had peace brought to my life because of trusting in God and walking with God? So I started to think of the occasions in my life, and there've been many, and then that really starts to bring things home. And I think that's the other thing, you don't always think back about when I've had a difficulty before and you've had this real experience, what happened? How did God walk with me? What did God show me? How did he lead me? How did it all transpire? How did it end up? And we can sometimes forget that seeking of God, and making sure that he's in our daily walk, so that we're not confronted by a big disaster or a big problem and then go running back to God. It should be every day that our daily walk is mindful of thinking with, hi God, I'm here. I don't know what today is going to hold, but be with me, strengthen me, and praying and thanking him as well for what he's done in the past, and thanking him for what he's going to bring in the future. And that's the bit that I sometimes forget to do when things are going well. So it's been that. So this has been a lot of a reminder to myself, about God's presence and power and grace in my life, and why we need to seek him. So if we turn to Ephesians 2:14. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has been broken down the middle wall of separation. So what this verse is telling us about is that he is to reconcile us to God. God has Jesus has broken down that wall and enabled us to then become close with God. And it's a message of reconciliation, and it's remembering that God's heart is always to reconcile with us. God's heart is always to bring us back in line to where we should be, to forgive us and to move us forward and develop us as people. And so our heart response to that should be obviously gratitude and joy, but also that should bring a peace to your mind, that that's God's plan and that's God's attitude towards us. He's not to punish us, it's not to make us fearful in that sense of, you know, I know it says fear and trembling, but it's not that, that's a mindfulness of the seriousness of what we should take our faith to be, rather than fear and trembling of being scared of God. Yeah, you know, if it's described as our Heavenly Father, you shouldn't be afraid of your earthly father, let alone your Heavenly Father. As how would you turn to him for help if you're afraid of him? So it's that understanding that is, he cares about our life, he cares about our worries, he cares about our demands, he cares about the little things that we just get so caught up in. He knows we care about those things, he knows we worry about those, and he understands that, but he wants us to go to him with those worries, he wants us to go to him with those concerns, so he can give us that peace, but he can also give us the right perspective, because quite often when you take a step back, you realise how little and insignificant actually in reality that problem is in the grand scheme of things. But in the moment of life, it can be very stressful, can't it? And we don't then access that peace. I have in my life experienced a literal powerful sensation of peace washing over me, only once, but it was literally from head to toe where I tingled. And I literally just felt it melt everything, all the worries, all the colour, it just melted away. And it was the most wonderful physical experience I've had of peace. Now, we're not going to experience that every time. And that was a very extreme experience I was going through at the time with my divorce and different things. And I was under attack. And it was about the shield and putting the armour up, which I'll get into in a bit. And literally just reading that of the armour will protect you from the devil's fiery darts. And as soon as I read that and believed it, this peace just came over me. And it was amazing. So I know that peace can be just in your mind, but it can be a physical sensation and release almost, where nothing had changed in the circumstance, but just your faith in God allowed that to happen. So it's always mindful that it, no matter how stressed or concerned you are, that armour of protection is there for you and you can access it at any point. So again, that's in Ephesians, and that's 6, verse 11. To put on the whole armour of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armour of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith with you, which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Okay, so there's quite a lot of action in there, and I know that sometimes, I know it's like a metaphor of the armour, but it's being mindful of what that means in our real life. And so it's contemplating what is true and thinking on what is true. And we know that God's word is the truth and trusting that that's the truth. So it's going back to the Bible, it's reading that and checking everything against the truth. It's having that breastplate of righteousness, is that also of you trying to act rightly every day in your life, not having a little slip here and a little slip there. And I know we're human and I know none of us are perfect, and thank God that he's forgiving, but it is that action of trying to be a righteous person. Mm-hmm. Having shod your feet with the preparation of gospel for peace. So it's thinking about what was God's reaction to circumstances be? How should I respond to things? How do I get peace? Well, also, that's taking your worries and concerns to him and getting that perspective in the right place. The shield of faith, so you're able to quench those fiery darts. And that faith for me is believing that God is that protector, that he is that shield, that he is able to move on your behalf. And so taking that leap of faith of just actually standing on the word that you've said this, so I believe it. I don't understand why it works, but it does. and it's just having that faith, because people say blind faith. It doesn't mean you turn your brain off. It just means that I might not understand fully why, but like I said in my last message, we're not always privy to the reasons why. We're not always responsible enough, or there's no reason why we need to know the reasons why. It's none of our business. So we just have to believe that what God has said is true. And if we believe he's got that heart attitude towards, and he only wants to prosper us, give us a hope, give us a future, then why are we not believing in him? What are we doubting? So it's having that. The helmet of salvation. So obviously we're thinking about the fact that, you know, we're saved by grace. We are saved. It's a gift. Yes. This is not something we have earned. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of sense of entitlement, isn't there, in the world? Lots of people think they're owed something, whether that's from a working class background or an upper class background. There's a lot of people with a chip on the shoulder thinking the world owes them something. And we're not owed anything. Mm-hmm. But God has given us the gift of salvation for free. And so we have to be mindful that we're the same as everybody else out there. And it's only through God's gift that we are in a better place. And also then that sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So it's thinking about what we say. Is it in line with this? Is it in line with what God's expectations are? Is it in line with what God wants from us? And then the last bit about praying, with all prayer and supplication, being watchful and persevering, and supplication for the saints. So it's praying for all your needs. It's praying for you to be helped to do all of those things that I've just ran through in your everyday life and everyday walk. But doing that repetitively, doing that day after day after day, is really hard. Well, I find it hard to keep up with it. And not only that, but to pray for each other. Because it's easy to remember what my problems are. It's easy to remember what my needs are. But I've got to remember to pray for every one of you, and to pray for your development, and to pray for your protection, and for your hope and your guidance as well. So we have to pray for one another and not forget to do that. But all of that instruction starts to get our brain back into the right perspective, doesn't it? If we've just spent literally a couple of minutes on that, we're already thinking in a better frame of mind of, actually, I've got someone on my side, actually, I've got something where I can turn to, I've got a hope already because of that gift of salvation. So you're already getting a more positive mindset, don't you? And I think that's then that process of gaining the God of peace, because he's washing over you with the truth of what your life has become. Okay, so that doesn't always help us when we worry about money, about how to deal with people, how to deal with behaviours, how to deal with workplace, how to deal with finances and, you know, decisions that we have to make. And I think over the next year, there's going to be a lot of people that have no peace. You know, everyone's waiting for this awful winter. And you can feel the anxiety, can't you? Literally, it's palpable when you talk to everybody. I don't know if that's just me, but my friends, but everyone I talk to, it's just like, we can't afford this. What do we do? What, like, everyone's just on this cliff edge waiting for this disaster to happen. And that's terrifying, isn't it? And it's all very well, like, you should be preparing now. But I think people have also gone into the head under the sand mode, which is what I do a bit. It's like, well, it's not yet, so I'll enjoy my life now and worry about that later. But God has told us in Philippians 4 and 6, I need to turn to that, that we need to be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. And so God is again giving us instructions of how we get that peace, his peace. It's to have faith that he knows what we need, but to bring it to him in prayer. And it doesn't matter if it's you're worried about being able to buy a loaf of bread or milk, or whether it's literally, can I heat my house this way? Yeah, can I clothe my kids? Can I afford Christmas? Can I, you know, it, or whether it's, I don't know how to deal with this individual, I don't know how to respond to this family member, I don't know how to respond to this person at work, I don't know whether I should be doing something else in my job. It could be any of those things that you're worrying about, but God brings everything. You can bring everything to God. I've prayed about things as small as moving seat on a plane, because Hannah didn't like flying and we were separated, and I prayed that we, you know, we'd be able to sit together, and we did. We sat together. It can be something as silly as that. And some people say, oh, that circumstances, people are quite happy to move on planes and stuff. But it's not guaranteed, is it? And, you know, I don't believe things are coincidences. It could be, I know Mum used to pray for car parking spaces because she hated going in multi-stories. You know, it can be anything. But there's a couple of things that we forget sometimes when we pray. And that's to pray with thanksgiving. We're not always thankful. We're a bit like those needy kids. I want. Or I am anyway. I need this. I need this. This isn't fair. Why is it like this? I feel like I'm Isaac. But I want this. But instead it says with thanksgiving, be mindful of what we've been given already, be mindful of what God is doing for us, what he has provided for us already, and keeping that in our mind. And then obviously, again, that gives us that right mindset. Put your requests before him and he will give you a peace that surpasses all understanding. So it tells us there, you're not going to understand why this happens. You're not going to understand how this happens, but it's going to happen. So that's all you need to believe, that this will happen. I will have that peace. It will occur. Things will work out because I've put my request before God. It doesn't mean it's today. It doesn't necessarily mean it's this month. But over the long period of time, it will happen. And I've seen that in my life. And I've always been provided with health, work, clothes, not always what I've wanted. So I've had to take hand-me-downs. I've had to take toys, resources. But I have everything I could need. I've got a secure home. I've got a job. I've got a loving husband. And every one of those things has been a gift from God. And I know very clearly that they've been a gift from God because I didn't have them before. And I prayed for them and I believed in God and his promises to me. And it's been 10 years, but that has come around. And so, you know, it's remembering also the past of where he's answered your prayers. Why will he then ignore you now? Why would he leave you? Why would he care for you that much and then walk away from you? He wouldn't. That's not our Heavenly Father. And then the other thing, there's so much to be said about having positive mindset in the sense of thinking on good things. If we fill our minds with negatives, if we fill our thoughts with what is bad, what is wrong, what is going wrong, what is, and dwelling on that, because I catastrophize all the time. I look at the worst of whatever's going to happen, and I then project, well, that's how it's always going to be, and this is what, and that's what I've kind of done this week a bit. Instead of just stopping and thinking about the positive things that are there, I firstly look at the negatives, always look at that instead of, I think it's partly because I want to problem solve it, but then that means that your mindset is negative, doesn't it? And you're expecting the worst. And you're worrying about things that haven't even happened yet because you've projected that that's what will occur. And so God tells us, no, don't do that. Think about what is noble, true, just, pure, lovely, good report, virtue, and meditate on those things. So it's remembering in our daily life to think about what has been good today, even if it's, you know, the dishwasher didn't break down the weather was nice, so I managed to hang out with washing, or it can be anything. But we need to think about at the end of the day or at the beginning of the day, you know, what is good? What is good right now? What is good in my life? And even if you struggle to find what's good in your life, you've got God. So that's what's good in your life. So you have to remember that there's always something to think on that's good. And that's what you have to constantly look at instead of the other things. And so God will then give you peace if you've got your head on the right things. So it's learning to do that. It's a learning thing, and it's a habit form. You have to form the habit to think positively and obviously bring it to God. Okay. So the other thing is to remember that God tells us in his word, not only here, but in other places. And that's what I like about the Bible. It's not just, it's a one-off verse that says God's going to give us peace. It's not just a one-off verse that he will provide for us. It's in multiple places. So in Matthew 6, if we turn there. Therefore, it's verse 25. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life. What you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is life not more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than them? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow will be thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For all of these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And that's what we need to remember. Let's stop worrying about next week, next month. Now, that doesn't mean we can just be reckless and act like we're payday millionaires, which I'd love to do. But at the same time, it's an understanding that God is going to give us the means. What mum's always taught me, which I don't like, but is true, is that God will meet your needs, not always your wants. So you will have enough. You will have enough to feed yourself. You will be clothed. You will be able to survive. It just might not be the luxury you would so wish, or in the way that you would so wish, but God will meet your needs. So you don't need to worry about your needs. And that needs to be an understanding of the difference between a need and a want as well, because we're in a society that is, you know, is consumerism, isn't it? So we're always about what we want, and it's as soon as we get that, it's what do we want next? We're never satisfied, are we? And so we're surrounded by that mindset of consuming everything and what's new, what's this? I'm going here, I'm going there, I've got this, I've got that. And that's what most people's lives are about, trying to chase after and fulfill to get all of this stuff. But we are supposed to be striving after righteousness. We are supposed to be seeking God. We are supposed to be looking at that instead of what the world has to offer. And God will then add all those other things to us anyway. So it's again, the mindset being on God, not on the world and what it has to offer. It's very easy to say all this, isn't it? But it's hard to live. But it's all about seeking God first, isn't it? Everything I've said has been seek God, pray, be thankful, and look to him. So the message is really clear, but it's not often what we do. Our actions are going to get us results. I've proven that in my own life. I've seen that in other people's lives. So even when we don't agree, understand, or even want to, as long as we put God's word into practice, it works out. And so we've got to remember those times where we have done that, and therefore in the future, trust God. Reliance on him is what we need to do with all of our cares. Like I said, whether it's something small, or whether it's a bigger concern like buying a house, changing a job, a health problem, other people's needs, child raising, God should be our first thought and consideration in all of those things. Our source of advice, our source of strength, our source of wisdom, and ultimately because of prayer and because of him being there for us and advocating on our behalf and having that hope and our future, it's power as well. We have power and confidence in our actions and in our choices because God is with us. And that's therefore going to give us a huge amount of peace, because we can trust that it might not feel right at this moment, but God has put me here for a reason. It will work out, and I'll be better as an individual because of this experience. And even when that's not pleasant, when we get through that on the other side, we can look back and go, oh, that's why I had to do that. Oh, that's why I did this. But God knows it, and his purpose is to make us better human beings. And sometimes we forget that because we're quite content in our own ways. But God's always looking to make us perfect. And so that's a difficult process. Particularly, I think, for women who are quite strong. I think women have to be strong. I think feminism hasn't really helped us. It's just made us actually do more. Mm-hmm. We have to work, but we still predominantly do the home. We still predominantly do the child raising. Mm-hmm. We still predominantly do many of those other things. So I don't really think it's massively liberated us. I actually think it's made our lives a bit harder. I believe in equity, and I do believe women should be able to work and have those things. But I think our role, like, children want their mums, don't they? Like, it doesn't matter if Joey's the best dad in the world. Isaac will say, no, daddy, I don't want you, I want mummy. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't matter how tired I am, I've got to do it. You know, that's the nature of things. And I think that's even when you've got a good husband that will offer. So I think we have learned to be these strong, independent women who think we can do it all. We're told we can do it all. We're told that we rule the world. We're told that we can have this attitude and we can be this strong career mum superpower. And we have learned to problem solve. We have learned to cope. We have learned to muddle through. And we've learned to be strong on our own backs. But then that's to our detriment when it comes to God, because we don't take it to him. We don't remind ourselves that actually we don't need to do this all. We're so used to just doing it all ourselves that we forget to involve him in our lives. We forget to ask for that help. Even if we think we don't need the help, it should be, I'm doing this, be with me. You know, it doesn't need to be, please help me, help me. It can just be, I'm doing this today, be with me, Lord. And it can be as simple as that. It's just having that mindset to involve God in your life. So, burnout is a growing issue. Burnout is a massive growing issue in millennial and society. And 84% of millennials say they've experienced burnout at their current job. And nearly half of millennials have specifically left a job because they feel burnout. That's massive, isn't it? That's a growing trend. It's a growing issue and concern. And burnout is a state of physical and emotional exhaustion. And I think that I feel that at times, definitely. I think all women probably have experienced that at some point in their life because of the load that's on them. And I think it's the mental load, isn't it? I think you're juggling so many balls for your family. You're keeping on top of all the dates, the parties, the different dates, the parents' evenings, the whatever else that's going on, the appointments, as well as work, as well as whatever else is happening. And I think women carry that burden, majoritively speaking. I'm not trying to say men don't do their part, but there's a lot of that, and it's that money worry, caring for others, working from home, job security for some people, especially if you think about this, you know, this crisis that's coming up. If you're in temporary work or 0-hour contracts, how terrifying that must be, to not have job security. Isolation, you know, we're more connected than ever, but people actually talk less than ever. Yeah. You know, we're insular. We're now on our phones, aren't we? We're all just scrolling and we're not actually messaging anyone. So you can have been on your phone for hours. And have you actually messaged anyone? Have you actually spoken to anyone or asked them a question? And sometimes you don't even bother because you can't be bothered to deal with the response and then reply. It's true though, isn't it? We don't bother. So isolation, health, sleep, relationships, all of those things have been listed by Mental Health UK as concerns and issues that people have got that have added to this emotional and physical state of exhaustion. And so we've got the answer to that. We've got the solution. We know how to put our worries into check. We know how to reset our mind. We know what we should be focusing our mind on and standing on the promises of God. And God is able to bless us with this peace that nobody else in the world can fully, really understand. So I've got some verses of that. So John 14 and 27. Sorry, my nose is running. I was getting muddled up if it's a gospel or the other one. John us be a gospel. Okay, there's several bits actually in John 14. So it starts off with, let your heart not be troubled. You believe in God, believe in me also. So this is Jesus, obviously, talking to his disciples. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. I go and prepare a place for you. I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you will be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. So he's telling us, you know, he's got a place for us. There is a home for us. We are wanted. And then 27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let your hearts not be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard me say I'm going away and coming back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice because I've said I'm going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. Okay, and you can carry on reading that about how he loves us. And it's that reminder of that he's always telling us, don't be troubled, I'm preparing something for you. I've got you in mind, I'm there for you. This is my plan, this is what I want for you, and I'm going to come back. It's not that you've been left and abandoned. He's there with you. He's giving you peace. He's giving you the way, the tools, the toolkit to be able to access that peace. He's told us how to do that in his word. It's our job to action it, and he's going to come back for us and take us to a better place. And then in Romans 8, and 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And again, it's just reminding us, it's our mindset, it's our putting on the righteousness, it's putting on the spiritual mind and being in that mindset that is life and is also going to bring us peace. So quite often when we're worried, quite often when we're stressed, we're in our carnal minds and we're only looking at it from our world perspective. And that's so easy for us to do, because that's what we were born as. That's what we have lived like for many years. And we're going to obviously fall back into that trap unless we stop and think for a second and look at God's word and what he's saying we should behave like. So it's just a reminder of how we should be trying to conduct our lives. So for every worry and concern and every issue, we've been given clear direction, a course of action to take. Seek God. Be thankful for what he has done in your life, what he has given you so far. Trust that he cares. Trust that when you pray, that when you bring your concerns and your asks for help, no matter how silly or enormous the issue might seem, God cares and will provide for you. God will draw near to you. God will bring you peace. God will work on your behalf, whether it's that moment, instantly, like that instant relief I had, or whether it's 10 years down the line, God will turn it around for your good, because he has a plan for you. He gives you a hope and he wants to give you a future. So we have to put on the armour of God. We have to do things. These things aren't just given. We have to action things. So we have to pray, be thankful, and get our minds on God and his way of thinking and put on that armour. You know, if God cared enough to send Jesus to the cross for our redemption, we need to then take him at his word. Yes. Why would he do that if he was then just not going to bother? Mm-hmm. You wouldn't, would you? So if he's going to go to that length, if he knew all of this would be how we were before he even created the world, why would he bother even making it? You know, if he's not going to fulfill what he's promised us, we wouldn't even be here. There's no point in it. So we have to remember and have faith in his promises. We have to believe what we're reading and we have to action it. So our experiences should help build our confidence in God. So as you do this more and more, you've got more memories, you've got more things of where you've put that trust into action. And you need to draw on those as well. He did it in that circumstance. He can do it again. Yeah? where's that faith gone that you had? You know, so it's still there within you, but it's just reminding yourself. Okay, and then this is my favourite verse, and it's what we blessed Isaac with at his dedication in Numbers 6. Because I just think it just always shows God's love and care and approach to us, really. So it's the blessing of the children of Israel. So the Lord bless and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. That's what I think we should pray for one another. You know, when we think, what should we pray? We don't know each other's problems always. We don't know what we need to pray for one another as a church. But I think if you prayed that, that's a good start, isn't it? Is, you know, praying for somebody's blessing and peace, I think is a good start. And then Proverbs tells us, whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil. Again, we're told so many times, God is our security, God is our shelter, God is our hope. He provides everything that we could ask or want. So why are we fearful? Why are we worried? Why do we not have that peace? And that's because we've not put on the spiritual mind. It's because we've not got our perspective in the right place. And we just need to turn to God and just take a breath, take that step back and remember that armour and go through the steps of what is it that means? What do I have to do to put on the armour? Not just the, you know, read it. It's actually believing it, isn't it? And action in it. So I just pray that we can all pray for one another, be mindful of praying for one another, but also to have that positive mindset with when we're coming up to a difficult time. And then I think we will shine as different in the world. You know, everybody's worried about this, everybody's fearful. Why, even though you are worried about this, why are you not in the same panic mode or breakdown as what we're experiencing? What's different about you? And it's that I have a Heavenly Father, that I believe he will provide for me. I believe he will be my source and meet my every need. I understand that I don't need X, Y, and Z to be happy because God is my salvation. I've got the greatest gift of all. I understand that he is advocating for me. He is there and providing me with a future. Even if I don't know what that future is, or even if it's not what I expected it to be, it's going to be good because God knows what I need more than I do. And so as long as we remember that, we're going to be okay. Amen. So this is massively preaching to myself. but I just hope that you've all taken something from it and would just like to close in prayer. Lord, thank you that you are on our side. Yes. Thank you, Lord, that you will advocate for us, that Jesus, you are constantly interceding for us, and when we're failures and not doing or believing or putting on that armour, you are still there waiting and reminding us and drawing us out to you. We're all sat here because you've drawn us out to you, and we obviously all still have that heart in us, but sometimes, Lord, we get caught up in daily life. So Lord, just help us to trust in you and be mindful that you are our everlasting strength, that we can turn to you at all times in all things, and that even though it doesn't always make sense, that your ways will bring us back to a place of peace, because we understand that your heart is for us, that you have a plan for us, and your plan is to prosper us and not harm us. Your plan is to give us hope and a future. So Lord God, help us to be mindful of that and meditate on those good things rather than our worries and concerns, so we can leave them at your door and go forward in a positive way. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Do you know that song, The Blessing?